Trailers. They look like chicken coops. Lyndon Johnson, Vice President of the United States.
Dean Rusk, Secretary of State.
Robert McNamara, Secretary of Defense.
General Maxwell Taylor, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Good to have you here, Tommy.
A pleasure. Llewellyn Thompson, former ambassador to the Soviet Union.
Ted Sorensen, special advisor to the president. There are 14 of us here, all told. The Treasury Secretary, Mr. Dillon, and George Ball, Undersecretary of State, very wise fellow. The Deputy Secretary of Defense, and Paul Nitze, the Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security. And, of course, the advisor the president trusts more than anyone else in the room.
Robert Kennedy, Attorney General of the United States.
Over the last months, we confirmed shipments of Soviet IL-28 bombers to Cuba, which, because their design is so nearly obsolete, we concluded were for defensive purposes. Our intelligence now confirms that there are MiG-21 aircraft on the airfields down there as well, which can transport nuclear bombs. These are of greater concern now with this photography taken Sunday morning. This photo shows a medium-range ballistic launch site and two new military encampments near San Cristobal, south of Havana. You're looking at 14 canvas-covered missile trailers, missile erector launchers, vehicles, buildings, and one building under construction.
How do you know that's a medium-range ballistic missile?
The length. We compared it with data on missiles dragged through the streets in the Moscow parade and estimate this has a range of 1,100 miles.
As far as Washington.
Or St. Louis, Little Rock, Austin. And with the megaton yield, it could impact New York, Chicago.
John, is this missile ready to be fired?
No, sir.
How long before it can be fired?
That depends on the ground support for the missile. Mr. McNamara.
John, would you care to comment on the position of the nuclear warheads?
We can find nothing that would spell nuclear warheads in terms of any isolated area or unique security.
This is not fenced, I believe, at the moment.
No.
This is important as it relates to whether these today are ready to fire, Mr. President. It seems almost impossible to me that they would be ready to fire with nuclear warheads on a site without even a fence
around. We do not believe they are ready to fire.
However, there's no feeling that they can't fire from this kind of position, is there? It's not a question of waiting for extensive concrete pads and that sort of thing.
That's correct, General.
One thing I'd point out.
Mr. Bundy?
Because of the tropical weather conditions, there's always cloud cover somewhere. We can't claim to have photographs of the whole island, so I think one of the first questions
authorize more flights.
Mr. President.
Mr. Rusk.
Obviously, we're looking at what is a Soviet base, and I think we have to set in motion a chain of events that will eliminate that base. The thing that I'm, of course, very conscious of is that while we can't sit still, there is no such thing as unilateral action by the United States. Any action we take will greatly increase the risk to our alliances and other forces in other parts of the world. So I think we have to think very hard about two major courses of action as alternatives. One is the quick strike. Should we agree, there is the overwhelming, overriding necessity to take all the risks that are involved in doing that. The other would be a combination of things. We ask the Organization of American States to make it quite clear that the entire hemisphere considers that the Rio Pact has been violated. We also alert our allies and Mr. Khrushchev that there is an utterly serious crisis in the making, that we could be facing a situation that could well lead to general war. We have an obligation to do what needs to be done, but I should think we want to do it in a way that gives everybody a chance to pull back before it gets too hard to do so.
Thank you, Secretary Rusk.
Mr. President.
Secretary McNamara.
There are two propositions I would suggest that we ought to accept as foundations for our further thinking. First, if we are to conduct an airstrike against these installations or any part of Cuba, we must now agree that we will schedule that prior to these installations becoming operational. Because if they become operational before the airstrike, I do not believe we can knock them out before they become launched. And if they become launched, there is almost certain to be chaos in parts of the East Coast or the area in a radius of up to 1,000 miles from Cuba. Secondly, I would submit the proposition that any airstrike must not be directed solely against the missile sites, but against the missile sites plus the airfields plus their aircraft, which may not be on the airfields, plus all the potential nuclear storage sites. Now, this is a fairly extensive airstrike, and there would be potential casualties of Cubans in at least the hundreds, more likely 2,000 or 3,000. However, we're prepared right now to carry out an airstrike within a matter of days. General Taylor...
Yes, even a couple of hours, if it were absolutely essential.
Then the airstrike would be followed by an invasion, both by air and sea, approximately 7 days later. There would be some degree of mobilization...